All right, let's stand for the reading of the word, Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 from the New Living Translation. And I ask you to follow along. If you don't have that translation, follow in your Bible or watch behind me. So the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding." My grandson hates it when I say mature. He says it's mature. So we asked Siri, and Siri said it was mature. So we're going to become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again. Surely, come on, church, surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. We know we shouldn't have to do that, right? We shouldn't have to be taught that again. We don't have to be reminded of placing our faith in the Lord. We're going on to deeper things. We don't need further instructions about baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And so God willing, everybody say God willing, we will move forward. Say it out loud. We will move forward to further understanding. One translation in Hebrews 6 and 1 says, we've not yet arrived. And I can agree, we have not yet arrived. We're not all on the same levels yet. And thank God that as people come in, they're becoming educated and taught in the Word of God. And those that are already in the Word, they're going up higher and higher. But I want you to know that God has a plan for every person in this building today. Every person that is watching online or listening to this podcast, every person, God has a particular individual plan for your life. Amen. And we must go on to maturity to walk in that plan that God has for us. I mean, those babies don't walk very good. Some babies don't crawl very well. And we've got to get beyond that babyhood stage and mature in Him so that we can do the work that God has called us to do. You know, God's called you to influence people. Yeah, He's called you to influence people. Well, you can stand or sit while I'm preaching. I don't care. I'm preaching right now. So God's called us to minister to people. Every one of us have been called to minister to people. Every one of us have been called to lead people. Do you know you lead your family? You moms and dads are leaders in your home. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Great amen this morning. I'm not looking for amens. God's called us to be an example. At work, in the classroom, in the marketplace, God's called us to be examples. He's called us to move on, to press on, and He's called us to grow up. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I said God's called us to grow up.
Amen.
How many of those grown-ups don't do the same things babies do? Look at your neighbor and say, grow up. But there's things that God has called us all to do. Paul said, I'm forever learning. We're continually growing. We never arrive, right? We've never arrived at that highest place of maturity that we can get. We're continually growing in the Lord. And there are so many people in this auditorium today and that are listening and watching online that God has called you to be a leader. God has called you to be a mentor. God has called you to be some type of an influencer. And we have not grown up enough to walk in that calling. And it's time that we get past those first principles of the basic faith and get into the meat and doing what God has called us to do and stop putting ourselves down because we say we're not qualified. Listen, we're never qualified to do what God called us to do. If we were qualified, how many knows we wouldn't need God to call us? Huh? I don't do what I do because I am all that and, as Dwayne says, a bag of potato chips. It's because God called. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you is what you is by the grace of God.
Amen?
Amen. Oh, I know the joke, brother, but I won't tell it publicly. I'll wait and do it when we're not online. We shouldn't have to be taught over and over how to keep sin out of our lives. We all know pornography is not good for you, right? Why do we have to stand up here and teach that in a mature church? We all know that lying is not good for you. Gossiping is not good. We shouldn't have to go back to those basic foundations and teach these basic principles of faith, of repentance, or tithing. We all know that we should be tithing, right? Amen. I said, amen. We all know that we should be tithing. We don't have to go back over that again and again because we've been taught that. When we were just born again, we were taught the first tenth belongs to God. And so we just grew up in that and it became a way of life. We don't have to be taught, you know, to get along in your marriage relationship. You ought to be doing that anyway. We need to get to the deeper things of God so that we ourselves will become teachers, mentors, influencers, helpers of others instead of just warming a seat in a church. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. Go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Once when Jesus was sitting with his disciples, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised." So I told you before. Notice he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem." Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait, stick around, stay there until the Father sends you the gift. In other words, don't get out there too quick. Don't get out there ahead of me. Don't get ahead of time. Stay within my timetable. But here's what I want you to hear today. I've titled this today, Don't Leave Without the Promise. Don't leave without the promise. Everybody say, I'm not going anywhere until I'm not going anywhere without the promise. We stop short when we don't go all the way and get the fulfillment of the promise. Amen. And then in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the scripture says, "I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father has promised. But stay here." Everybody say, stay here.
Stay here.
How many know sometimes we get in a hurry? How many, like Sunday mornings? The clock goes past noon. How many know we get in a hurry, huh? Stay here until... What if we make a proclamation that we're going to stay here until the Spirit of God moves? He said, I heard Siri, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Everybody say it again. I'm not leaving until I've got the promise. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I got a lot of verses for you today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, even the unknown part of the world at that time. He says, stay here, be filled, let me equip you, and let me train you so that you can go and be that mentor, that teacher, that leader, that influencer, that person that helps that teenager get through his struggle. Every one of us have that gifting and calling to be something for somebody.
Amen.
Now, the requirement for salvation is simply this. The Bible says that we confess Jesus with our mouth, right? We say Jesus is Lord, basic requirements for salvation. And then we confess, we believe in our heart that what? God raised him from the dead, right? We confess with our mouth. We believe with our heart that God raised him from the dead. We believe that he died on the cross, but he was raised. We believe he went to the tomb, but he's not in the tomb. He was what? Resurrected. So we have the cross. We have the tomb. We have the resurrection. But here's where many people stop. People stop at the empty tomb and they don't go on to the upper room. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe he's got something today. We have the cross, we have the tomb, we have the resurrection, but many people stop at the resurrection, then they don't go to Jerusalem and wait for the power to come on high. If you're with me, shout amen.
Amen.
My message to you today is don't stop at the empty tomb. There's more. Don't stop. There's more for every one of us. Amen? There's more for us. In other words, the fullness of the finished work of Christ wasn't completed at the empty tomb. It actually started there, right? That was the starting place when he was resurrected from the dead. And then he went and he's 50 days later, he said, I'm coming back in the form of the Holy Spirit to fill you with power so that you can do the works that I did. But people stop at the tomb. They get the salvation experience. They got the feel good, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven experience. But honey, there's a whole lot more beyond the cross, the tomb and the resurrection. And we need to get to the waiting room. We need to get to the upper room. And believe that God wants to do some work in our lives that will enable us to be filled with His power.
Amen.
Just as we read in Acts 1 and 8, we'll receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So the fullness of the finished work of Christ can only be complete. Yeah, we start at the cross, we go to the tomb, we enjoy it, we see the resurrection, but then we go on to the upper room and we wait for the power on high. If you understand what I'm saying, shout amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of Christians, they go to the cross. Yeah, they go to the empty tomb, but they forget to go to the upper room. Empty tomb, upper room. Listen to me, listen to this. At the cross, he redeemed us. In the tomb, he resurrected us. But at the upper room, he released us. Do I need to say that again? At the cross, he paid for it. At the empty tomb, he proved it. But in the upper room, he poured it out. Do I need to say that again? He redeemed us. He resurrected us. But thank God, he has released us. We now have put the potential that was in us is now being released.
Amen.
What good is potential if it's never released?
Amen.
Good preaching, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Say this with me. On the cross, Jesus was crucified.
On the cross, Jesus was
crucified. In the empty tomb, Jesus conquered.
In the empty tomb, Jesus conquered.
But in the upper room,
he commissioned us.
He commissioned us. He gave us our marching orders. He gave us the directions. He gave us the plan. He gave us the blueprint. And then he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and demonstrate everything that I did while I was. You see, 3.5 years Jesus enjoyed his ministry on this earth, or Jesus was involved in ministry on this earth for 3.5 years. How many knows he was going around proving to the Jews that he was the Messiah by doing miracles and signs and wonders and raising the dead and opening blind eyes, healing lame and missing part. Jesus did all of that in that 3.5 years. And then he went to the cross and then he went to the tomb and he was resurrected. But he said, it doesn't stop there. The works that I do, I want you to do, but you need to go to the upper room and wait for the power on high. And there's, in other words, there's more than the cross. The cross will get you to heaven. I'm not belittling that. And please don't write and say, well, you're saying the cross wasn't enough. The cross and the blood was more than enough. That's all we need to get to heaven. But thank God, if you want to do something in earth before you go to heaven, we need the Acts chapter 2, verse 4 experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, put your hands together and give him a praise. Somebody said, well, I thought that was a denomination that you're preaching about. I'm not preaching about a denomination. Hello? Yeah, this is not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about, you know, somebody joining a particular type of denomination. This is not some kind of proprietary rite. This is not just for this little block of Pentecostal people. It's for whosoever will believe, who will ever go to the upper room. Can I hear an amen? It's not for a particular church. It's not a brand. People like to brand all their products and brand everything. Now listen, Solid Rock, I don't want to be branded as just that kind of a church. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. If you're a believer, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you believe that Jesus paid for everything on the cross and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we're no longer who we used to be. Have you ever met somebody, they got saved and they were changed, but then they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they got changed again? Have you noticed the difference? You notice the person that's filled with the Holy Spirit comes up with a boldness, a joy that's overflowing to want to share Jesus with anybody and everybody until they get around some of us deadheads and it rubs off on them. Huh? Listen. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God enables us to do the works that Jesus did. And somebody said, well, what do you think that is? Well, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find out all the works that Jesus did. Amen? And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus made a way for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Some people are filled with anger, huh? Some people are filled with anger, filled with resentment. Filled with unforgiveness. I heard somebody say on TV yesterday sometime that they said, I hate that person and I will never forgive that person. And I thought, how sad. You're going to be in bondage for the rest of your life. Aren't you glad that he filled us with his Spirit and not with bitterness? Not with poverty. Thank God I'm not filled with poverty. I'm not filled with generational curses. Thank God. What my grandmother and grandfather and great-grandma and great-grandpa had problems with and was passing it down, it broke in this generation. We don't have to have that stuff. Well, it's in your DNA. Well, take it up with God. Jesus says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. I'm filled with the Spirit, not bitterness. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, not anger. I'm filled with the joy of the Lord, not sadness, madness, and all that other stuff. Amen? Somebody say it with me. Don't leave without the promise. Everybody say, I'm not going anywhere without the promise. Now, I want to tell you why you don't want to leave, okay? Now, here's the important part. I don't want you just saying it. I want you to know why. Because I believe with all of my heart, before this message is over, I'll prove to you by some statistics that some amazing things are getting ready to come our way. I believe some amazing things. And when I say amazing, I can't even describe it. There are some things that God's prepared for us. The Bible says, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for those, but he's revealed them to us by his Spirit. There are some amazing things. And if you leave your place before time, you're going to miss what God's got for you. Woo! I'll shout myself if you won't. Amen. Jesus promises, but there's a condition. I'll give this to you, but there's a condition. You've got to go and you've got to wait. Now, I'm not talking about a geographical Jerusalem. I'm not talking about you going somewhere and waiting, for several days and several nights. I'm talking about the position of our heart. We've got to be ready to do what God's called us to do. And when he says go. We don't say, how much is it? I can't afford it. I don't have time. When God says move, you got to move. I don't know if any of you remember that old song. You remember that song? When you got to move, you got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. You and I are the only one that knows those old songs. And I'm not calling your name, okay? Something amazing is about to take place, and I really feel like it's worldwide. We're beginning to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit worldwide. But I believe that Solid Rock's not going to be exempt from that worldwide pouring out. I believe that we are going to be a vital part of that outpouring of what God's wanting to do in these last days. Listen, he gave us a promise. He gave us a promise. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say I might or if I feel like it. He said, I will. Now, if you don't know we're living in the last days, pick up the New York Times or read the Post-Dispatch. We're living in the last days. Don't you think maybe that's why the devil is disrupting your life so much? Because he knows something's about to happen. I believe that's why so many of us are fighting physical battles. We're fighting mental battles, maybe financial battles, maybe family problems. Maybe you're fighting problems in your faith. You're having a hard time believing, or you just have a depression and anxiety or knocking at your door every day. But the reason you're being attacked is because the devil knows and the enemy of your soul knows that something good is about to take place. Something amazing is coming our way. Patty cakes don't do it here, so let's give the Lord a praise. Come on. Something's coming your way. Something's coming your way. You know, it seems like nowadays we pray more intensely. We pray harder. That's okay. We know because something is coming our way. Why do we have the resistance? Why is there resistance if something good isn't coming our way? Something amazing is taking place in the world today. And I guarantee you, it's not just happening right here in Farmington, Missouri. The reason we're still standing, the reason you're taking up space, the reason you're seated here at church this morning is because you know something amazing is coming your way and we didn't give up. Anybody in here could have given up? Anybody here could have let go and just turned loose? Yeah, there's a lot. Let's look at some scripture this morning. Let's look at some scripture. Somebody shout like, "That's right, brother." That's right, sister. Romans 8:18. I'm going to give you about four or five scriptures right here in a row. Romans 8:18. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us. Now, the next word says later, but sometimes people think that means only when we get to heaven. Well, everybody knows when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, what a day of shouting and rejoicing that will be. But how many knows we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have a day of rejoicing? Don't put it off till the bus comes, okay? The rapture bus may not come tomorrow, so you might as well be happy and glad and joyful in the Lord today. Amen. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. Romans 8:28. We know this one too, don't we? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Do you know when you're going through that thing, that whatsoever, how many knows, it don't look so good? But the key is we know, Carl, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Sometimes we can't see the good, but we know in our knower that good's going to come out of this. Amen. God can turn things around. I could give you story after story of how God has turned things around in Darlene's life and my life, and I could bore you with some testimonies, but listen, you've got your own testimonies. God has turned some things around for you, Rick Turnbow. God has turned some things around for you, Mark Thurman. God's turned some things around. Amen? Amen. And God says it's going to work together for the good. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:19. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't even dream it up. As much as I would like to hype you up, this is not hype this morning, but if I could hype you up, I couldn't hype you up to dream big enough to know what God's prepared for you. I could list every promise in the book on the screen behind me and try to just get you excited about every promise. But the Bible says, eyes not seen and ears not heard, the things that God's prepared for those that love Him. Is this helping anybody? 1 Corinthians 3:18, don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. If anyone thinks he knows a lot about the things of this world, he had better become a fool that he may become wise. Sometimes the more we think we know, the more foolish we are. Am I right, Dr. Sue? Much learning hath made you mad. It's what somebody said to Paul one time. Now listen, I'm not trying to hype you up. Listen, I couldn't hype this bunch up if I had to. There's no way I can hype you guys up. I've been trying for 50 years, and I just can't get anybody hyped up. So I've just adjusted to calm down a little bit and just try to give you the truth, you know. And so you don't run around the church, you know, don't swing from the light bars. We don't have monkeys going from flag to flag to flag in here. You know, I've tried that to get people excited, but you know what? We don't need excitement. We need the truth of the Word of God. It's not excitement that sets you free. It's the truth of God's Word that sets you free. And if I can get you believing God's Word, you might just take off running. Amen. And so, you know, we're not trying to get everybody hyped up. This is not some kind of collective psychotherapeutic reframing affirmations for the purpose of rewriting your brain. This is not emotional exuberance. I'm just trying to get the Word of the Lord into us so that we can take it home and rejoice forevermore. Amen. Romans 5:9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Somebody say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Can I translate that for you? When sin comes knocking on your door, it doesn't mean it knocks the door down and comes in and takes over. I am no longer a slave to my past. Anybody got a messed up past? Come on, liar. Some of you didn't raise your hand. How many got a messed up? No, I'm teasing. You know, I'm just teasing. Because you know what? We all know everybody's got a messed up past. You say, well, I never smoke. I never chewed. I never run around with women that do. I didn't do all the party stuff. And I was just a good guy all my life. But have you been born again? Has the blood of Jesus washed you? Because you were born into sin and iniquity. But listen, because of the blood of Jesus, my Bible says I am no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to do what my body asks me to do. I don't have to do what my unrenewed mind tries to talk me into doing. I'm no longer, everybody shout, I'm no longer a slave. I don't know where Dwayne's at, but Dwayne, that's a good song. I'm no longer, he's pointing over there. Oh, here he comes. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful nature was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. And I just couldn't help myself, Brother Rhodes. The devil come knocking, and I opened it in, and next thing you knew, my computer screen. No, come on now. You lazy outfit, you just didn't say no. When that thing comes knocking on your door, you start pleading the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I speak the Word of God over my mind. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to look at that. I don't have to get involved in that. I don't have to do all that stuff. I don't have to lie, cheat, and steal. Come on, church. I don't have to do drugs. Now, let me just give you what do you call those things? Like at the end of something? No. I'm not that close to the end. Never mind. I wrote this down for some of you because I know some of you think this is you. If you haven't been tested, if the enemy hasn't pushed back on your faith or your family or your future or your finances, if you haven't been through any warfare, then this message is probably not for you. And so I give you permission to check your portfolio. I give you permission if you want to play words with friends. I give you permission to watch reels. I give you permission to do Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But if you feel like the enemy has pushed you back against the wall and this message is for you, you better listen. You better listen. You better listen. And you know what? We can't just hear, but we have to what? We have to be a partaker. We have to do what the Word says. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Come on, give me a smile. If you believe something amazing is coming, if something amazing is coming down the pike, you think for you from the Lord, let's just give God a praise right now. Come on, church. Only those that believe something good's coming. Praise Him like you believe something amazing is about to come into your family, into your home. Hallelujah. Faith will arise. Praise God. Now, Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Stay here. Stay here because something is coming your way. I think it's interesting. No, I'll save that to the next page. But he said, don't leave because something's amazing. I want to give you 5 points to write down. If you're writing things down this morning, if you want to jot this down, or if you just want to just listen, I'm going to give you 5 points this number. Number one, get ready to go from carrying potential to exhibiting power. Get ready to go. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were carriers. They had potential, but they went into the exhibiting power in Acts chapter 3 and began to do the works of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in your hometown, in your county, in your state, in your nation, and all around the world. Number two, here's the second thing that's going to happen if you'll stay in the upper room, if you'll stay where Jesus told you, if you don't leave too quick. Number two, get ready to replace the Judas in your life. Get ready to replace the Judas. If you remember the Word of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, it says, so now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord. How many of us we've all had, last week, were you here last week when we talked about betrayal? Talked about Samson and Delilah and the betrayal and how every one of us have probably been betrayed somewhere in life. Listen, it's time to get that Judas out of our life. And in Acts, they replaced Judas. It's time to not let that betrayal hold you back anymore. Have you been betrayed? Why, of course you have. Have you been betrayed worse than somebody else? Well, I'm sure you probably have. But listen, we've all been betrayed. But I want to get past that betrayal. I want to get past that. I want to get over into the land of love and the land of forgiveness. Amen. Not I hate you and I'll never forgive you. Amen. Somebody shout amen. 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 Everything that has betrayed you will be replaced if you will continue to wait in the place where God tells you to. Oh, by the way, how you wait is going to determine how you win. Did you hear me? Waiting is one of the hardest things to do, isn't it, Carol? One of the hardest things is to just wait and wait and wait. Waiting on God sometimes is more difficult than getting out and doing something. But waiting will help you to grow and to mature. But some people don't know how to wait patiently. Sometimes people wait moaning. Sometimes people wait groaning. Huh? Sometimes people wait complaining. And it doesn't do any good to wait if you're in that frame of mind. Amen? But if you will wait with expectation, if I'm awaiting expectation for God to do something great at Calvary Temple, or where am I at? Solid Rock. Where in the world did that come from? Woo! I went back 40 years, didn't I? See, there's things in here. My mind really does work. God wants to do something at Solid Rock. But if we're waiting impatiently and we're waiting and griping the whole time, and I wish they'd do this, and I wish that if we'd just wait in worship, wait in praise, wait in joy, I believe God's going to speed that up. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Okay. Okay. Romans 4:21. How many believes God's going to do what he promises? And Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. He's not a man that he should lie. Listen, if it's in this book, God's going to do it. Amen. Now, is he going to do it in your timing? Maybe not. Maybe so. But I'm telling you what, if it's a promise from God, it's going to come to pass. Every promise is yes and amen. And right away, somebody's going to say, well, what about Tammy? She didn't get her promise. Oh, she got more than the promise. She got more than the promise. You see, Tammy's not sitting over there next to Alan this morning, but she's sitting next to Jesus, and I guarantee you she'd rather be close to Jesus than Alan any day. No offense, brother. You say, well, she wasn't healed. She got the ultimate healing. There is no pain, no sickness, no hurt in her body. So, where am I at here? God's going to do what he said. Number three. You're going to discover people in your life that are satisfied with watching the ascension, but not waiting in patience for the answer. You'll see people that will watch the ascension, but they won't wait for the promise. People that will enjoy the salvation experience, but they won't go that extra step to get the fullness of the Spirit. How many's listening to me today? If you remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Paul said there was 500 people that saw Jesus before he ascended. How many was there on the day of Pentecost? How many gathered in the upper room? 120. 120 minus 500 is 380 people said, let's go to Wendy's. 380 people said, I'd rather go to Chick-fil-A than to wait in the upper room. I ain't waiting around here. If God don't move by noon, I'm out of here. Come on, church. If God's not, if God must not be moving if he don't move at 11:55. I think sometimes God just wants to test us to see where our patience is. He'll say, I'll show up at 1 o'clock if you stick around. Wow. Maybe I ought to preach this over in Tanzania. Tanzania, I think I told you, but church started at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. 7 a.m. He said, we'll be by and pick you up at 6:30. I said, what? He said, yes, church starts at 7. I said, what? How many services are you going to have? One. So I thought maybe 7 to 9. 9 o'clock rolled along, we were still there. 10 o'clock rolled around, we were still there. 11 o'clock rolled around, we were still in church. 1 o'clock rolled around, and just a little after 10, we dismissed. Or a little after 1, we dismissed. From 7 to 1 o'clock, nonstop, one service, 12 offerings. Don't you ever gripe about the offerings we receive at Solid Rock. I mean, they had a box on wheels for everything. They roll that box out there, and this one's for the pastor. Okay, the first offering's for the pastor. Then they wheel it back. You guys remember, at Solomon's Church. Then they said, they roll it back out and said, now this one's for the building fund. Come and give. And I'm going to tell you something. Every line, Sister Thurman, every offering, there was lines all the way to the back of the church. People giving and singing and dancing like you never. We'll show it. We'll show it. Is the video about ready? You forgot about it, right? So, no. We'll show. Maybe we can show it probably not next week because it's Father's Day, but maybe the following week. But then they'd roll it back. Then they'd roll it back again and say, now, this one is for missionaries. And this one's for the one that sang the special song this morning. And this one's for, oh, by the way, we have a wedding this morning. This one's for the bride and groom. They took up 12 offerings in a five-hour service. Not one person left mad. I can't imagine what would happen if I received about 3 or 4 at Solid Rock. I would be bombarded with emails and Facebook posts. Try it. Five hours. Can I tell you, there was not, and this couple over here can witness to that, there was not, they weren't at the five-hour service, but there was not one boring time in that church service. Those people shouted their hair down. Some shouted their slips off. Some shouted their other things off. And I'm telling you what, it was like those people were having fun in church. They're a dancing bunch of people. 5 hours. They said, well, how long is your church? I was embarrassed to say. I said, what? We start at 10 or over at 12. What? How many times you go? Do you have a Sunday night service? No. What? They have a Sunday night service on top of that. And then Wednesday night? Yeah, we have a 1 hour service on Wednesday night. They thought, how in the world can you survive as a church? Different cultures. But I tell you what. They're hungry for God. I can't wait to show you the video. I can't wait to show you the video. 380 said, we're not sticking around. We're not sticking here past noon. If the Lord don't move by noon, he's not going to be moving in my life. You get it? Amen? You see, some people are satisfied with an empty tomb. Some people are satisfied with an empty tomb. Do you hear me? Some people go, and that's as far as they get. They go to the cross, they go to the tomb, but they don't want to wait. How many knows waiting is one of the hardest things we can do? All right, let's see if I can find another one here. Number four. Here's another thing that will happen if you'll wait, is get ready for a new language. Get ready to speak what you've never spoken before. God's going to give you a heavenly prayer language, which I would call a direct line to the throne room of God, that he will give you if you will wait for that Pentecostal experience. And by the way, can I tell you, it did not stop in the book of Acts. Hello? It didn't stop when the last apostle died. You can read all these theologians and read all these books if you want to, but it didn't stop just because the last apostle died. Amen. Number five. I'm about to wrap it up here. There are some things we've got to stop saying in the church. All right? Number five. Some things to stop saying in the church. Actually, I just got one thing we need to stop saying. You know what it is? God, touch me. Touch me, Lord. I come to church to get a touch from the Lord. Listen, I don't need a touch from the Lord. I need a transformation from the Lord. I don't need just a little touch from the Lord. I want the Lord to transform our lives, to turn us around. I want to walk out of here different than the way I came in. And a little touch isn't going to do that. Touched you. I want to be transformed by the power of God. I don't want to be filled. I just don't want to feel God. I want to be filled with God. Amen. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe with all my heart. Let me read it here. I'll read what I wrote. Anybody in here that will come into agreement that we're stepping into a new season where every room in your house will be filled with the Holy Ghost means that when the Holy Ghost shows up, the devil's running out. And when the Holy Ghost shows up, the demons run out. And where the Holy Ghost shows up, darkness runs out, poverty runs out. And I'm ready for every bit of that to happen in our homes and lives at Solid Rock. Acts 2:16. What you see predicted a long time ago by the prophet Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people, your sons and your daughters. Listen, to those of you that are praying for your lost children or your lost children, and Darlene and I do that. We're praying for our children, our grandchildren, that they will have a fresh experience with God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice it says here, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now listen, folks, this last day is not talking about Acts chapter 28 at the closing of the book of Acts. It's talking about the day and time in which we're living right now, the last days in which we're living. He says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And Dr. Sue and Gary Doss and Daryl Rhodes will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women, men and women. Hey, machos, listen. Men and women will prophesy. Put that in your gospel pipe and smoke it. Your men and your women alike will prophesy. Now the epilogue. For so long, we have heard and even said, it's getting darker, it's getting worse. America's going to hell in a handbag. This world is so full of corruption that God can't do anything about it. And that we know that we're never going to see a move of God in America I want to change our thinking with that today. I want us to change our vocabulary. I want us to change and begin to speak what we want to see God do in America. It's not over for Solid Rock. There was people that prophesied that it was over for Solid Rock. I told the people in Kenya at Bishop Shim's church that there was people that came up to us and prophesied and said, shut the door, lock the door, put a for sale sign on it, get out of Dodge. The church is never going to amount to anything. They prophesied that. But I want you to listen, folks. Things are changing. Now, I'm going to give you a few little stats. I know some people don't like stats, but these are up-to-date stats. And feel free to take the screenshot or write it down or whatever you want to. But how many has heard of Barna Research? Okay, Barna Research is probably the number one resource for Christian data. They do more polls, they do more data gathering, they do more comparison than any other research company that I know. And they say, here's what the headline says, something is happening in America that is surprising everyone. We're going to stop that talk of going to hell in a handbag. The church is dying. The church is lukewarm. The church is worldly. That stuff's going to stop. Listen, at Solid Rock, we're on the move. You say, well, the seats aren't full. Not yet. Not yet. But you know what is better than a full church? A healthy church. Yeah. I'd rather have a healthy church any day as a big church. Yeah. Thank God for a healthy church. Amen. And we're getting healthier. Our marriages, I believe, are getting stronger. Our marriages are beginning to come together. Our finances are beginning to come together. Our relationships with other people in the community are beginning to come together. We're beginning to get it right for a change. Okay, as of 2025, 66% of U.S. adults report a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. It's a 12% increase since 2021. Can I say something? The church is winning and the devil is losing. The church is winning. You say, well, that's only 12%. Listen, Mr. Negative Nilly, 12% is good. Thank God. And I'd be glad to see another 12% this next year. Amen. I believe the church is on the rise. Everybody say the church is on the move. Everybody say the devil's losing in America. The gospel is winning. Now, I love this. I love this one here. Millennial men and Generation X men saw a 19-point rise in conversion to Jesus in 2020. I mean, this is only 6 months into 2025. Men 45 and under are tired of what the world is offering. Selah. Stop and think about that. Pause for just a moment. I believe we're about to see Gideon's army rise up out of this new breed of men and women. I thank God for men. We were at a men's meeting Friday night. That place was packed full of men. Only six of us got to go. But I'm telling you what, we saw men worshiping God and praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. We heard a word from the Lord that just really ministered to us down at the campground. Thank God, men are rising up. And listen, men of Solid Rock, we're going to rise up. We are rising up. Next time we have a meeting, it's not just all about eat and eat and eat. It's about the Word and fellowship and growing together, accepting responsibility. Amen. The devil will not touch a house where a man of God is committed to Jesus Christ. The devil will not touch a house if the man is present in that house. Amen. I wonder if we got any dangerous men in this house today. I wonder if we got any dangerous men that's going to rise up and say, devil, get out of here. Get out of here. This is my family. This is my family. This is my home. Did I have any more statistics? Is that the last one? Oh, here's one. 30% of individuals, I don't know if I gave you this one or not, Blake. 30% of individuals who do not go to church still report that they have a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. 30%. I believe Christianity is making a comeback. I really do. Now, because of live streaming, because of YouTubing, because Facebook and all the other platform medias we have these days, it's easier for people to stay home in their pajamas with a cup of coffee, you know, in their hand and watch the church service. But there are nothing, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that will ever take the place of being present in the house of God. I don't care how anointed that man is, T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar or any of those people that you listen to. I don't care how anointed they are and how much you watch them at home. That is not going to take the place of you being in the house of God, present and accounted for. Those guys, I know they can all preach better than me, but I happen to be your pastor. If they're your pastor, call them when you die and see if they'll come and do your funeral. Well, that was mean, wasn't it? Call them if you have to go to the hospital and see if they come and pray for you. No, I'm just teasing. I think this morning's message ought to encourage us. We're finding people that are scientists and astronauts are coming to the Lord. They're beginning to believe that science proves God is real. Amen. So here's where I'm going to land. If you want to come up, brother, if you guys want to come up, I'll say like Brother Brad Reed said the other night, if the worship team wants to come up, it usually makes people feel better. They think we're almost done. I want to remind you that Jesus said, in the last days, I will. Are we living in the last days?
Yes.
Do you know what? If there's another 100 years, we're still in the last days compared to eternity and compared to, a 6,000-year-old earth. Okay, so listen, we're in the last days. And Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a spiritual refreshing. I'm ready for a turnaround. I'm ready for a move of God. I don't want to see what we had in the 80s and the 90s. I don't want to see another Brownsville. I don't want to see another Rhema Bible Training Center. I don't want to see another Rodney Howard Brown or one of those. I want to see a fresh move of God in our community. I want to see something God's doing that's changing lives. Are y'all happy today? Are y'all happy to be in the last days? We're living in the most... Do you know that our parents and our grandparents would have loved to see the day that we're living in right now? Who would have thought that people would rise up and criticize American Idol and say they're becoming a Christian TV show because they're starting to play Christian songs and have singers singing Christian songs? People in the audience worshiping God in American Idol. Listen, we're living in the last days. We saw it on The Voice. People, those people that sang the Christian songs got the biggest applause and God got the most praise. Watch these people sing these songs without being afraid they're going to be ridiculed by a Simon Cowell. They'll sing a song of praise unto God and worship God. Get on their knees and worship God on that big stage. God's having His way, folks. God's about to turn some things around. I'm ready. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Stand to your feet. We're going to get ready to wrap it up here. For all the hecklers currently suffering from acid reflux, because the scientists and the neuroscientists and the scholars and the philosophers are accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, resulting in a brand new generation of D.L. Moody's and Smith Wigglesworth, we've got four words to say to you. Get used to it. Get used to it. Because we're about to have a revival in this day and time this world has never, ever experienced. Amen. I love it. I love it when I watch the NFL players get on their knees and they worship the Lord out there in front of everybody. I love it when they join hands in their little circles and begin to worship and praise God, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We didn't see that 20, 30 years ago. I love it. I love seeing these pro ball players worshiping God. I said, we're about to enter into something amazing, Brother Sue. We're about to enter into something. I believe you'll live to see that day, Brother Sue. I believe you'll live to see that. It's coming soon. This is something that our parents... I remember one time Darlene's dad, I don't know if you remember this or not, but Darlene's dad came here and preached. It was in the old building back here. Bless his heart. We had three steps going up to the platform. And he was not, how old was he? In his 90s. And he was walking up and down those steps so many times. And finally, he come over to the front row and he said, Daryl, you need to pray for me. My knees are wearing out. So I prayed for him and he just kept on going up and down, up and down. You may remember that too, Dwayne. But he told Darlene and I, he said, I have yearned to see the day that the Spirit of God is moving like it is here tonight. I've only dreamed about seeing that come to pass. And he said, thank God I got to see it. But the best is yet to come. There's more, folks. There's more. But now listen. The devil is trying to get your flesh to go crazy so that you'll give up and you'll quit. You'll get discouraged. You'll miss what God's got for you. Amen? Why do you think fear is knocking on your door? Why do you think anxiety? Why do you think she's got a full-time job, a full-time load? People having problems because the devil knows he's about to lose. Okay, so I'm going to close with this. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. I'm not talking about a geographical place, city, land called Jerusalem. I believe it's a posture of the heart. I really believe that it's a posture of the heart. It's more than a physical location. It's the spiritual epicenter of your life. It's the center of everything that's going on in your life. I believe that Jerusalem symbolizes peace. Jerusalem symbolizes a connection with God, a holiness. Now, there's a lot of religions in the world, and they equate Jerusalem with the holy place or the divine place that stands for God's presence. But I want to tell you something. There's a holy Jerusalem living right inside of you today. The presence of God is in us. Bob Yandian said one time, I don't have to go to the Holy Land to feel the presence of God. God is living in me. The Holy Land is walking in me. Now, I know it'll change your lives. I know it'll give you a different perspective, but I'm just saying if you think you're just going to the Holy Land to feel the presence of God, that's not the way it works. Father, thank you for the word this morning. God, I believe there's some people here today that's made up their mind. We're not leaving until. We're going to tarry. We're going to wait for the promise to be fulfilled, the promise of answered prayer. The promise of a healed marriage. We're not giving up on our marriage. We're not giving up on our homes, our husbands and wives. We're not giving up on our children. We're going to wait. We're going to tarry. We're going to wait for the promise that God will pour His Spirit out on our sons and our daughters. Father, I know there's people here today that's
right on the edge of giving up. They've prayed for weeks and months and maybe even years and have not seen any change. But God, I pray that they will adopt this message today. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pursue you. I will be a God chaser, as Tommy Tenney said. I'll be a God chaser. Father, I pray that every time somebody thinks about leaving, giving up, quitting, that this message will come back and haunt them and will awaken them. I pray in the name of Jesus that those listening online, those are watching on listening on podcasts, those that are here in this place today, God, we're making up our minds. I've made up my mind. I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. Something good's about to happen in my home. I want you to visualize, if you could see it, you know, faith sees the invisible. And I want you to visualize in your mind, see that spouse and you living in harmony and peace and great love. See your children worshiping God. They may not be in church with you, but they're somewhere in a church, hands lifted, tears coming down their eyes, worshiping and praising you. Visualize, let your faith see your children serving in ministry, working in the nursery, serving in children's ministry. I have a daughter that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt was called to work in youth ministry, work in children's ministry. See your child, see your son or your daughter fulfilling the call of God in their lives, using their gifts and talents. See your husband coming to the Lord. We need some more. We need some more Rhonda Turnbows in our church that'll not give up because 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 years passed by and my husband wouldn't go to church with me. But she waited until. She waited until. Oh, God, increase our faith. Increase our faith. May we see those things that look impossible today coming to pass. I want you to look in the through the eye of faith right now. Look through the eye of faith. Look through the promises of God's Word. Look and see. God can turn that financial situation around. I want to tell you something. At Solid Rock, we were pitiful. We were probably the worst church in the community financially. But God has turned some things around. We'll see this place paid off in just a few days. We'll let you know for sure. But listen, God can turn your financial situation around. If you're a tither and you're not stingy, mingy, tightwad. You're generous. God's looking for generosity. God can turn your finances around. Let go. Give it to God so God can multiply it. Bless others with it. Thank you, Jesus. Look through the eye of faith. Come on, I'm looking through the eye of faith. See things beginning to come into place. Kids are back in church with you. Your grandchildren are reuniting with you. They've been separated, but they're becoming reunited. Let that eye of faith begin to see what God has promised. For all the promises are yes and amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this building this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not even made it to the cross yet, much less the upper room. You've not made it to the empty tomb. I want to invite you to have an experience with Jesus Christ today before you leave this house. I want to invite you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell it like this. Personally, Jesus wants to come and meet you in Solid Rock today. He will meet you in this place. He will welcome you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you let us pray for you today? Just walk right on up here. We want to pray with you. We're not going to ask you to raise your hand or bow your head. Just come on up. If you want to give your life to Jesus, today is your day of salvation. Today's the day that God can turn your life around for good. Today's the day that you can mark it down that if I die this afternoon, I'll be in heaven with the Lord. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. I know that's not popular these days. And God's not sending you to hell. You're choosing hell by rejecting Jesus. Maybe we need to get back to some of this old time preaching. Darlene's dad used to say there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So true. So you can walk out of here today born again, knowing that you've got names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you can walk out lost without Jesus and put your trust in the enemy to keep you alive for the next whatever. Thank you, Father. Luke, come up here and dismiss us this morning, would you? Get that microphone and come up here and dismiss us. Father, thank you this morning for every person in this house today. I pray, God, that you will minister throughout this day to your people. God, may this message be imprinted on our hearts, that it'll not be erased by time. It'll not be erased by distractions. I pray, God, that be imprinted forever. Things are about to turn around. Brother Luke.
I pray if you're here today and you don't know God and you didn't come down here, that you will make that choice, because it doesn't matter where you're at, how much money you have, your status, how cool you think you are, how many social media posts you have, and all your Instagrams, and all the popularity that you think you have in this life, one day it'll all be stripped away and you'll stand before the Creator of the universe and He will say, "What did you do with my son?" Doesn't matter how good looking you are, how famous you could be, or the potential of your fame. There's only one person's fame that matters, and it's Jesus Christ. So I pray today, Father, if there are people here that don't know you, God, that you will convict them, that you will work in their heart, God, that you'll make life miserable for them. Yes, I'm praying that. God, make life miserable for them until they come to you, God. Because the Word of God says it's better to go to heaven missing limbs and blind and being in pain than go to hell with everything. And I pray, God, that your people, these people today that don't know you, God, your creation, that they'll bow their knee to you, God. God, I come against infirmity and sickness in this place. God, I pray for Kathy Anderson. I speak healing to her and Dave, God, and all the people that are hurting in this place, God, that are dealing with infirmity. I pray for Dr. Sue in the name of Jesus, God. Your word said that by your stripes we were healed. And you said on the cross, it is finished, God. And I believe that this church is going to the other side, God. There'll be no feeble among us. I thank you for healing, signs, and wonders of this week. God, I pray as your people go out to their jobs, God, that there'll be evidence that they are a Christian and that people will recognize your anointing upon them. They just don't come in church and play games, but we walk out in the world and people know that we're different and we are ambassadors for you, Lord. I bless your people, God. I pray for safety and abundance this week, God, and that we lift your name up, God, and we never forget, God, every day what you did for us, God, because you're the only religion, God, where the God came down and died and rose again. God, you came down to us, God, in our lack, in our desperate need for a Savior. God, you came down and you delivered us, God, and I thank you, Jesus. You descended so we could ascend. And we love you, Lord, and I honor your people this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.